Welcome to What is Going Ohm for new thought from the edge of Ohm. Each week on Ohm Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Ohm. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Nothing is more important than our health. We've heard that phrase so often that for many it's faded into background noise. But as has become evident these past few months, we cannot afford to ignore this a moment longer. Which is why we've cleared the decks tonight to bring back an expert who was with us just a few short weeks ago, whose latest book, The Longevity Matrix, provides a wealth of valuable information we need to hear on immune health and its role in helping us combat the coronavirus. One of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine, Michael Murray, MD, is the author of 30 books with 6 million copies in print. A graduate and former faculty member of Bastyr University in Seattle, where he also serves on the Board of Regents, he's literally written the textbook of natural medicine for healthcare practitioners, as well as the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine for the lay public. Dr. Michael Murray returns today to share his knowledge and advice for safeguarding and boosting our immune health naturally. Dr. Michael Murray, thank you for agreeing to return to the show so soon. When you were here 3 weeks ago, we discussed a number of important topics covered in your book, The Longevity Matrix, How to Live Better, Stronger and Longer, including immune health. And since our immune system plays such a critical role in fighting viruses and staving off disease, it really does deserve a show of its own. So let's start by looking at how the immune system impacts longevity and health generally. And then perhaps we can look at it in relation to the current virus that has everyone quite rightly concerned.
Absolutely. The immune system is really intricate. It's one of the great frontiers of physiology, of the science of studying how our body works. Many of the other body systems have been really mapped out really well, but the immune system, we're constantly learning new ways in which our immune system is working to protect us. And that's especially true as it relates to aging. And it's also true as it relates to this, SARS-CoV-2 or virus, this virus is responsible for this pandemic. So yeah, let's get into it a little bit. It's such a complex subject. I think the first thing we have to look at is, you know, what are the key components of the immune system and what is the overall objective of the immune system? Well, the immune system consists of some of our barrier mechanisms that protect against organisms entering our body. It consists of our white blood cells and the tissues that make them. White blood cells are made in the bone marrow. We have special white blood cells that are matured in the thymus gland. This is our master gland of the immune system, and it's a gland that lies in a bib-like fashion in our upper chest. And it controls an aspect of immune function called cell-mediated immunity. And this arm of the immune system is really critical in fighting against viruses. And it's also a key factor in fighting against cancer formation. It's a key factor in longevity. So it really lends a focus today talking about how we can support the health of the thymus because it's so critical to both longevity and then also dealing with this this SARS-CoV-2 virus. And when I look at I should fill out the rest of the immune system. We have the lymphatic system, lymphatic vessels, and our spleen. These are all the main components of the immune system. And when I look at the immune system, Sandy, one of the things that I think is that it's a really good reflection of our overall health. And one of the things that we're learning, thanks to this pandemic, is how important our immune system is to our health. And when we don't take care of our immune system, we run the increased risk of having infections and suffering more severe consequences. It's not just the common cold. It's also more serious infections, and we're seeing that with this pandemic. So what we are learning in this pandemic is that if you have some comorbidities, if you are overweight, if you have high blood pressure, if you have diabetes, if you have chronic lung disease, you are at an increased risk of developing a more severe infection and dying from this virus than if you had didn't have those comorbidities and you had a strong immune function. So when we look at those comorbidities, we have to ask the question, well, how are they impacting immune function? And is there a way that we can kind of counteract some of the negative effects that these comorbidities have to protect people? And then what about people that are generally healthy? What can we do to make sure that they're protected? So that's kind of the framework that I'd like to start with today. We're going to look at what are some things that we can do to support our immune system, and then how does that relate to both longevity and this virus that we're all concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead. I mean, tell us what are some of the components in supporting? I mean, what is necessary to support the immune system? What does it thrive on?
Yeah, well, I look at four things. I always start with the foundations of health, and these are a positive mental attitude, health-promoting lifestyle, an optimal diet, and then lastly, supplementary measures, dietary supplements, herbal products, and other methods to basically support our health. So when we look at the first foundation, the power of a positive mental attitude, there's a long, long list of scientific investigations into this link. And there's a whole field of study called psychoneuroimmunology. And this study has devoted itself to looking at the ways in which our attitude, our mind, our thoughts, our emotions influence our immune system. And one of the most detrimental states that we can have on our immune system is being depressed or being stressed out. When we're under stress, it activates our sympathetic nervous system. And this is the arm of the autonomic or unconscious nervous system that is responsible for the fight or flight response. So think about what your body would need to get away from a tiger. Getting a virus or an infection under control becomes less important because the body's going to mobilize energy to escape from that immediate danger. So when we're under stress, we get activation of the sympathetic nervous system, and it is extremely immunosuppressive. Many people might be familiar with the drug prednisone, which is a form of corticosteroid or cortisol. When we're under stress, we produce and secrete more cortisol, and cortisol is one of the few hormones that increases as we age. And with increasing cortisol levels, we get some issues arising. We get sleep disturbances, depression, we get blood sugar issues, higher cortisol levels are linked to type 2 diabetes. We get bone breakdown. We get connective tissue breakdown. So we need to do everything we can to get our stress levels under control. And it's a combination of removing as many straws off of that camel's back as we can, but also boosting the strength of that camel's back. And one of the antidotes to stress is activating our parasympathetic nervous system. It's this component or this arm of our autonomic nervous system that's responsible for repair, rejuvenation, and restoration. And we can activate that parasympathetic activity by producing what's called the relaxation response. It's just the opposite of the stress response, and we can activate that through meditation, prayer, deep breathing exercises. Nature is built into us so that when we are in a relaxed state and we breathe with our diaphragm or use those belly muscles to breathe, it sends a signal up to the brain to relax. So there's a method to stopping and taking a breath when you're starting to feel stressed out. It can arrest that stress response. But we need to consciously set time aside each day to engage in producing that parasympathetic response. And we do that through deep breathing exercises, meditation, prayer. I'd say at least 5 minutes a day, or excuse me, 5 minutes twice a day would be the minimum. And if you're under a lot of stress, you may need to devote more time. So that kind of takes care of that aspect, the first foundation of developing a positive mental attitude and trying to activate that parasympathetic nervous system. The next thing I mentioned as being a foundation is our lifestyle. And lifestyle plays a huge role in the health of our immune system. If we're not getting enough sleep, if we are engaged in harmful health habits like excessive drinking of alcohol or not getting enough sleep, not engaging in regular exercise, you know, all the lifestyle things. If we're not following a healthy lifestyle, it leads to significantly impaired immune function. And they've looked at this quite in depth. And just helping people with some basic lifestyle modification has dramatic effects on improving immune function. One cell in particular that has improved is a cell called the natural killer cell. And this cell is getting a lot of attention right now in COVID-19. It's a special white blood cell. It's given its name because when it gets next to a cancer cell or if it gets next to a cell that's infected by a virus or if it gets next to some sort of disease-causing organism, it will literally kill that organism. So it's a really key component of our immune system defense. And just changing or improving a person's lifestyle has dramatic effects on that natural killer cell activity. So these are some things that, you know, people don't really think about in terms of how they impact their immune system. They may know that, you know, they need to rest and get some good sleep, but they may not realize that, you know, certain health practices, or I should say unhealthy practices, are so detrimental to our immune function. And then when we look to the next area, diet, oh my gosh, if you look at the effects of sugar on the immune system, higher blood sugar levels just basically paralyze the ability of white blood cells to move and migrate to areas of infection and then act on pathogens, disease-causing organisms. So sugar levels in the diet and in the blood are really important to get under control if you want to have a really good functioning immune system. And other dietary factors that are important. Your immune system requires every known nutrient to function properly. So a deficiency of any vitamin or mineral, any single nutrient, has significant disruption of the immune system as a consequence. So we want to make sure that we are eating a very healthful diet. But I also think taking a good high-potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula is really important. It's always important, and it's certainly important now. And we know that in people that are nutrient deficient, if we give them the nutrient they need, it leads to remarkable improvements in immune function. This has been shown a lot in elderly subjects. Typically, as people age, their immune system starts to function suboptimally. And like a lot of conditions that we associate with aging, we just kind of say, well, it's a side effect of aging. Well, it's not, because you can take these people that are old and have some immune suppression, and if you give them a high potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula, their immune system comes back to a more youthful state. So if we give the cells in our body the tools it needs to be healthy, they've got a better chance of being healthy. And our immune system, these cells, boy, they respond really well to super nutrition. Nutrition is the key factor for most people in determining the function of their immune system. We talked about attitude, we talked about lifestyle, but the biggest factor leading to immune dysfunction in most people is lack of certain key nutrients and a lack of a high quality diet. Some of the foods that I think are really important to focus on, since I just talked about supplements, I don't want to get off the subject of diet here. We'll talk more about supplements in a minute. But one of the key foods are richly colored vegetables. Richly colored vegetables are rich in plant pigments called carotenes. And I came across a study that was done in 1931 in some ways, it wasn't that sophisticated of a study, but the results were amazing. What they looked at is they looked at blood levels of carotene, and they then looked at the number of school days missed. And what they found was is that kids that had the lower levels of carotenes had a significantly greater number of school days missed, primarily due to infections, while those kids who had higher carotene levels, they had fewer infections and fewer numbers of school days missed. And the reason is these carotenes are so important in helping the function of the thymus gland. And I mentioned the thymus gland earlier. It's the key organ of our immune system, and it's responsible for producing a type of maturing a type of white blood cell called the T cell, and these cells are critical in fighting against cancer, critical in fighting against fungal infections, fighting against viral infections. And what's interesting about T cells right now is that many people have never heard of them, but I was getting caught up on the news yesterday, and they were talking about T cells, because what they're finding in this COVID-19 is that people who have had an infection either with symptoms or without, their levels of antibodies are disappearing. And typically, the focus has been on, when we talk about immunity to a virus, we focused on antibodies. That's the way most vaccines work. You give a part of that virus or inactivated virus, and the body responds by producing antibodies produced by B cells, a different type of white blood cell. And those antibodies bind to those antigens or viral proteins or other organisms' proteins, and will wipe that that infecting organism out. Well, it turns out with COVID-19 that T cells are more important, and so this is really kind of changing the focus a little bit, because you know, they may be going down a rabbit's hole with some of the interventions, particularly in trying to help people prevent long-term issues with this particular organism. So T cells are they're able to kill viruses not by producing antibodies, but by direct cellular attack. And we have specialized T cells called memory T cells. And what researchers have discovered is that about 40 to 50% of people are walking around with immunity, partial immunity against this SARS-CoV-2 virus. And the media is just starting to report this. There was an article on CNN yesterday that was talking about these discoveries, but these discoveries are now almost, they're over 2 months old now. And what the discovery means is that many people, they have been exposed to other types of coronaviruses, because coronaviruses can cause the common cold. And evidently, the T cells have recognized in some people SARS-CoV-2, just as it might recognize a prior coronavirus that they may have been exposed to. And so there's some immunity, and that kind of explains why some people have mild or no infections. It also gives hope that we're maybe closer to herd immunity than we previously have thought, based upon looking at antibody levels. So if you look at, you know, what's happened in Sweden, for example, we see things, you know, dramatically leveling off. And we see that in Spain, we see that in Italy, we see that to a degree in UK, and we see it in certain states in the United States that were hit really hard. A reflection of, you know, the people that were hit were the people that didn't have this, you know, partial protective immunity due to T cell function. So how do we help with T cell function? How do we help improve our virus killing activity by supporting the thymus gland? And I've given a couple of things. One, stress is really detrimental. Two, not getting enough sleep is very detrimental to thymus function. And then I mentioned the carotene link. And the thymus tissue is very sensitive to oxidative damage or free radical damage. When it gets exposed to higher levels of prooxidants, highly reactive compounds in food, cigarette smoke, pollution, the thymus starts to involute. It shrinks. And this process leads to significantly impaired immune function, particularly cell-mediated immunity, which is controlled by these T cells. So the reason why the elderly are particularly hit hard with COVID-19 is because of depressed cell-mediated immunity, primarily due to reduced thymus gland function. So yeah. I said earlier, if you take elderly people and you put them on a high potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula, you see improved immune function. And that improved immune function is, I mentioned the natural killer cells, but part of that improved immune function with a multiple vitamin and mineral formula is you're giving your thymus gland the support it needs. It's really important that thymus gland has all these essential nutrients. You know, that word essential, and when we combine it with nutrient, it needs to be expanded a little bit. But people still have to realize that these are termed essential nutrients for a reason. they're required for our body to function properly. And this is really evident by the impact of nutrient deficiency on our immune system. So again, I want to stress taking a high potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula.
Let me just interrupt there a little bit, because, you know, here we are with this pandemic, and the most important thing is supporting our immune system. And the factors that you've laid out, you know, stress, that the very situation and, you know, the media are creating so much fear in people that, of course, everybody is far more stressed than they were before. We know that, you know, our soil is depleted. The foods, you know, that we're growing aren't necessarily as rich in nutrients as they were maybe 30, 40 years ago. We've got GMOs to contend with. I mean, it seems like we're fighting a battle on every front. And the only thing that doesn't seem to be a problem is the fact that we have access to much better nutrients via supplements.
Absolutely. No question about it. You touched on a couple of things that we don't focus on much, and that is the fact that we have nutrient depleted soil, and our levels of nutrients in our foods is far lower than it was 100 years ago. If you look at this, you can just look at the size of some of the fruit. I mean, I remember when I was a kid how big an apple was.
Yes.
And, you know, now these apples are, you know, enormous, and they're less nutrient dense. And if we look at, you know, foods in the wild, they're much, much more nutrient dense. So we've kind of bred our food supply to be high in calories in some regards, but low in vitamins and minerals, and that's one reason we have these issues.
I'm going to hold you there, Dr. Murray, because we do have to go to break, but let's continue this when we come back. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is one of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine, Michael T. Murray, MD, who's the author of 30 books with 6 million copies in print, including the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. We'll be back with more important advice on boosting your immune system after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On. As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. just an ever-growing library compiled by recognizable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys, plus free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who have walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Dr. Michael Murray. We're talking about food and, you know, depletion of the soil and food not being as nutritious as it used to be. We hear a lot lately about superfoods. But when you compare superfoods and you compare, you know, a supplement, for example, you know, one that is, you know, produced by a trusted manufacturer, you know what's in a supplement. You don't know what is in that superfood. So are we getting to a place where, you know, we're going to stop eating food? Are we going to start eating more supplements?
Yeah, I do everything. You know, people always ask me, what's the most important recommendation you can give people? You know, what's the key supplement they should take, or what's the key way they can improve their health? And my answer is, our body is a system, and I highlight this in my latest book, The Longevity Matrix. And when we look at what's necessary to live a long, healthy, passionate, fulfilling life, there are many components to that. And it's kind of like, you know, asking the question, what's the most important part of your car? Well, there's so many things that can go wrong where that car becomes pretty much useless. You might not have the key for it. Maybe it's out of gas. Maybe the tires are flat. Maybe the transmission's out, a dead battery, whatever. Something goes wrong. Well, our body is much more complex than that automobile, and we're not, in many cases, feeding it what it needs. And so all these nutrients that are getting attention right now for their immune-enhancing effect, people have to realize that they're only as beneficial as the weakest link in the chain. So, you know, vitamin D, the research on vitamin D is fantastic and not only against viral infections and protecting against COVID-19, and the research is very compelling. We see that in people that have low levels of vitamin D status, their risk for having symptoms and having more severe symptoms increases dramatically. I mean, I've got some charts that would shock people. If a person has low vitamin D status and they get exposed to this virus, they find themselves in really bad shape. You know, think about all the people in nursing homes that, you know, aren't getting vitamin D, aren't getting sunlight, not getting it through supplementation. And, you know, that could be one of the reasons why they got wiped out so fast. But vitamin D works best when it's accompanied by a whole host of other nutrients. And some people maybe have never even heard of some of these nutrients, but they're critical to immune health. You know, people heard of zinc, and that's getting a lot of attention. And zinc really is the master nutrient for thymus function and cell mediated immunity. But another one that is as critical is selenium. And if you look at the severity of COVID-19 infections in regions that have low selenium status, it's pretty clear there's an association. There hasn't been any clinical evaluation of selenium status and COVID-19, but there's been some interesting correlations between the severity of selenium deficiency in a region and the severity of COVID-19. So, like, for example, if you look at China, China has pockets that have high selenium content in the soil and other areas where the selenium content is very, very low. Now, when you look at if you look at a map of COVID-19 severity, the patients that were hospitalized or developed severe symptoms of COVID-19, you see that it overlays perfectly with those those areas that had low selenium status. But selenium is one of the most important antioxidant nutrients, and we talked about how important that is to thymus gland function. Selenium supplementation, even in people who had adequate selenium levels, was shown to significantly improve the ability of white blood cells to kill tumor cells. And this is largely a reflection of cell-mediated immunity. At this time, I would recommend taking 200 micrograms per day of selenium. Now, I like yeast-based selenium. There's a form of selenium called Seleno Excel that has the best science behind it, and it's been shown to outperform other forms of selenium. So I like this yeast-based selenium called Seleno Excel. And selenium, we're talking about longevity. Selenium is very important in protecting against heart disease. Lots of great epidemiological data there, and very important in fighting cancer. And there was a study, famous study here in the United States, that used this special form of selenium from yeast, Seleno Excel, and it reduced prostate cancer development by 50%. We could wipe out the risk of prostate cancer in about 50% of men simply by taking selenium, a special form of selenium. Now, they followed up this study with using selenium, a different form, and synthetic vitamin E. And in that study, and that's the one that's gotten all the press, it didn't show any benefit. In fact, it looked like the men that took this other form of selenium and the synthetic vitamin E may actually have had an increased risk of prostate cancer. So sometimes we have to look behind the headlines a little bit and analyze, what was really going on in the study and what they showed. And I think the differences in those two studies points out the importance of using the form that was used in the study and at the right dosage. So go ahead.
I was going to say, what about other nutrients like high-dose vitamin C, alpha-lipoic acid? We've been hearing about melatonin, probiotics,
yep,
homeopathy. There have been so many things that have been touted and shouted down by the media. It's really difficult to know, what is just, somebody just pushing something and what is real.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good things that are real. Zinc is real. We know that zinc inhibits an enzyme called viral replicase. And if you block the replication of the virus, you basically stop the infection in its track. And one of the ways in which hydroxychloroquine is going to work is through the action of zinc. What hydroxychloroquine does is that it opens up channels that allows ionic zinc to be transferred into the cell. There's a flavonoid called quercetin that has the same effect. So quercetin's getting a lot of attention right now. We can get a lot of quercetin from our diet, onions, garlic. Quercetin is a backbone structure of the flavonoids that are in berries and chocolate. Green tea has some flavonoids that were also shown to increase the intracellular concentration of zinc. So flavonoids help zinc work better. On the flip side, zinc helps our immune system, and these flavonoids exert some direct antiviral effects that are fantastic. When we look at some of these studies, we see what's called a synergistic effect. So with zinc, it works very well with vitamin C in a lot of functions. It works very well with vitamin D. And it really works well with a lot of these flavonoids. So again, we're seeing the importance of diet come into play. And I think when it's all said and done with this pandemic, that we're going to come out of it recognizing that, diet is really the key factor in determining the function of our immune system and our susceptibility to this virus. One of the key biochemical findings that have been shown to be linked to the severity of COVID-19 is the level of cellular glutathione. Yes. Sandy, I know you've probably talked about it to your listeners. This substance is our key intracellular antioxidant, and it has some really great functions in helping us fight against viruses, including some antiviral activity. We can boost glutathione levels by having more antioxidants in our diet and through supplementation. Vitamin C boosts glutathione levels. All of these mineral antioxidants that I've talked about, flavonoids, carotenes, can all boost our glutathione stores. As far as a supplement goes, one of them that's really received a lot of attention right now is N-acetylcysteine. And N-acetylcysteine is a precursor to glutathione, but it also has some benefits on its own. And one of the key benefits is it's been used in medicine for decades in helping to thin out thick mucus. And one of the things that I think predisposes people to infections is respiratory tract infections is decreased function of their mucus because of some altered structural components. Well, N-acetylcysteine is a mucolytic, and it helps break down thick mucus, and it helps clear microorganisms from our respiratory tract much more efficiently. So N-acetylcysteine, I think, is a key compound to supplement in this era that we're in with this pandemic. And then if we look at boosting glutathione levels, it's not just associated with better immune function. Boosting glutathione levels is associated with protection against every known chronic degenerative disease. So if you're talking about living longer, if you want to live longer, you need to have high glutathione levels. If you want to have healthy brain function and avoid Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, you need to have higher brain glutathione levels. If you want to continue to have proper liver function, if you want to have the ability to get rid of toxic compounds that are in our food, water, and air, you need to have higher levels of glutathione. If you want to have healthy heart function, you need higher levels of glutathione. So it's not just these things that we're talking about being beneficial for our immune system in promoting longevity. They also have systemic effects in other tissues and in other body systems. And it's just amazing to look at the symphony that we have going on in our body and see all the different instruments that are used to promote health. And as it relates to this COVID-19, the level of glutathione appears to be one of the key determinants in the severity of the disease. Same thing is true, I mentioned earlier, with vitamin D. Zinc seems to be similar. You mentioned something else, melatonin. Yeah. Melatonin is another one that's linked to severity of COVID-19. And all of these compounds, they work together. And we're talking about them as individual components. But what if somebody really took a constructed approach in planning out their diet and their supplement program and their lifestyle, their attitude, to build super immunity? It's going to have great effects, not on just their immune system, but in every cell throughout their body. And that's what I've tried to do in the longevity matrix. And I know that that's what you try to do in all of your work as well. We got to help people realize that we are a system, and we really have to think about answering the question, how can I support my system best? What are all the components of my life that I can make better and that will benefit me? And I think that's just such a, to me, it's such a self-evident approach to life. And I've been trying to get people to see this way for my entire professional career, as have you. It makes sense to us, right?
I think it
makes sense to most people as well. They just haven't had it explained to them. They haven't seen the light. When I am out with new friends, my old friends have heard a lot of my stories, but I love talking about what we're talking about. I love talking about how nutrients work in our body, how special food components work in our body. So, you know, when I'm eating, I like talking about, hey, you know.
Well, you know, it's necessary. It's necessary, yeah. Because you're not allowed to make claims on supplements. You know, I mean, every single authority out there is doing their best to make sure the public don't know what's good for them. So the only way is for people like you to talk about it and to come out with books.
Yeah, and, you know, I talk about it all the time. But what amazes me is how many times I've talked about, just mentioned something about, hey, you know, there's a compound in eggplant that works as well as a statin in lowering cholesterol levels. Oh, really? That's interesting. And then I, you know, start talking about different things of cabbage, have some cabbage. Oh, you know, Dr. Garnett Cheney in the 50s at Stanford University showed that cabbage juice was an effective treatment of peptic ulcer. It was one of the first clinically proven treatments of peptic ulcers.
Yes.
Anyway, start talking about these different aspects of food, and people will kind of look at me quizzically, and they'll say, it's almost like nature has given us the tools,
yes,
that we need to heal, and it's in the food that we eat. And I'm like, yes. You know, yeah. We know that to me, that's self-evident, but people haven't quite figured that out. So what I'm leading up to is, you know, what are some foods that we can really, really focus on? We mentioned the quercetin, but there was a recent study with garlic against this virus. And, you know, garlic is well known as a kind of a natural antibiotic. And, onions have similar compounds, shallots. Then if we start looking at the spices, you know, turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, they have significant antiviral effects and immune-enhancing effects. And then what about all the great herbs? All the mint family herbs have antiviral activity.
And what about mushrooms?
Mushrooms, exactly. I mean, we could... Yeah, I mean, it's never ending, right? I mean, it's really cool. And so there's a lot that people can do to support their immune system through better food choices. And On the flip side, we know that there are many food components that impair our immune system. Chief among them, as I mentioned earlier, are foods that are way too high in sugar. As I said earlier, sugar literally paralyzes. There's been a lot of focus on black elderberry. I think I've read all the data on black elderberry, and what it shows is that it can reduce the severity and maybe a little bit of the duration, but it doesn't reduce the number of people that get sick. And so I think it has its benefits, but when you look at something like quercetin, this flavonoid that I talked about earlier, in studies where they gave it to people that were active and in good health, it reduced the risk of developing any upper respiratory tract infection symptoms by 95%. So in the placebo group, there were like 9 out of 20 got upper respiratory tract infections. They caught a cold. Whereas in the quercetin group, only 1 out of 20. And same thing, if we look at vitamin D research, oh my God. And they looked at placebo, they looked at 800 IUs per day, and they looked at 2,000 IUs per day. In the group that got 2,000 IUs per day in a study done in Australia, they didn't get colds and flus during the winter months. There was only one case of a cold or flu, and it was during the summer months, which is caused by a different type of virus, like the coronavirus, perhaps. But my point is that I think that there are better. I think elderberry has its role, but I don't think it's as anti-infective as some of the other measures, like vitamin D.
There's something I need to ask you, because we will be out of time fairly soon. The RDAs that are given, notoriously low. Many people know this, many don't. Many people will over-supplement. Where is the line, and how can people know, well, what's really safe? What is a safe level for me to take? Where can they find this information?
I think they just have to educate themselves. And I think there are great resources of rational approaches. And sometimes our medical community is really biased against natural approaches, and they're not doing what they should be doing, and that is making recommendations based upon reasonable certainty versus absolute proof. I'll give you an example. One of the greatest discoveries, in fact, the New England Journal of Medicine said the greatest discovery in the second half of the 20th century was the link between folic acid deficiency and neural tube defects.
Yeah.
That data existed for over 40 years. They knew that folic acid deficiency led to neural tube defects. They knew it for 40 years. They waited until there was so much evidence showing the link that then obstetricians and others started recommending that all pregnant women or women thinking about getting pregnant should take a folic acid supplement. And in the meantime, you know, hundreds of thousands of children were born with a birth defect that could have been prevented if their mothers simply took a safe dietary supplement. So I think the answer to your question is to educate themselves and rely on reputable sources of information, and you can help point them to that. I like what you're doing with your book recommendations, and people need to tune in to you and follow your recommendations on what to read, and they'll get guided to things that are really going to help them.
Yes, well, your books have been enormously helpful to me over the years, and they're usually the first place I go to check something out. Unfortunately, we're out of time now. You and I could probably talk for hours on this topic, and I hope to have you back again at some point so that we can talk some more.
Anytime. I love it. It's so inspiring, and you're doing a great service to all your listeners, so keep it up.
Well, likewise, you are too. Dr. Michael Murray, thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it.
The Longevity Matrix, How to Live Better, Stronger and Longer, is available to order online right now at thelongevitymatrix.com. And I think you can maybe be able to get the book at a cheaper rate with lots of free editions if you're quick. I heartily recommend it, and it will contain a lot of information that we've covered tonight, and much more. You can also find out more about Dr. Murray at Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back again at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.